Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
It's Relationship Therapy with Rachel Cook.
It sure is. And this is a little ears warning. Remember, you can catch our podcast after the show if you can't listen right now. It might get a bit risque. This one is for anyone on the hunt for that special someone, because today we are asking, what type of people should you avoid when you are on the dating scene? Now, our resident relationship expert, Rachel Cook, is here with all the answers. Rachel, how's it going?
Oh, very good, thanks. And we've got loads on this, don't we? It's a big topic.
It's a huge topic. Okay, so what types of people should you generally look out for and avoid when you're dating?
Okay, so some of the types of people are generally those who blow massively hot and cold, okay, who, you know, make you feel confused about where you stand with them. You know, Casper the Ghost, if anyone's ghosting, then, you know, I'd say just disengage as soon as possible. Now, obviously, you need to be aware of, you know, it might just be that someone takes a few days to get back to you. That doesn't mean they're ghosting you. But in general, if someone disappears and you don't know what's happened, I would say just disengage. Then you've got things like if someone's clearly a love bomber, you know, it's not to say that things can't be really amazing at the start of dating or a relationship or whatever, but if someone is going all in and telling you that you're their soulmate, they've never felt anything like this before, and you know, they just see a huge future with you very, very early on, then probably you need to get away from that. Main character syndrome, another big one. If someone is all about them, not asking you any questions, you know, just very, very self-involved, then it's just going to be, it's going to be crap. If you know that someone, you get the sense that someone is a massive control freak. Yep, I'm sure that has come from, you know, difficult, painful things that have happened in their lives. But if someone seems to be very controlling or manipulative, then you probably want to move away from that. A lot of people don't want to date gold diggers. Now, obviously, if you're happy to financially provide for someone else, and that might be something that you work out as time goes on because you earn different amounts or something like that, that's different. But if you get a sense that someone is basically just wanting you to pay for a load of stuff, that might be a good one to kind of go, not sure about this. Someone with very avoidant attachment, you know, it's like, obviously people with avoidant attachment deserve love too, but if you know particularly that you are someone with anxious attachment, I would say you're going to really struggle dating someone who's avoidant. And the other way around probably as well, if you're very avoidant, you might not want to date someone who's very anxious, because you're just going to find it a real struggle. And then I would say, you know, a man child, you don't want to date a man child, and that can be someone of any gender, it's true, but you know, someone who's very emotionally immature and expecting you to do a lot of physical and emotional labor in the relationship for them, you know, not putting effort in. And the last one I would say is probably not dating someone where, you know, you discover over time that you're really focused on the potential of them, but it's not actually playing out in the reality. So that's another one.
That is such a long, miserable list. It's so hard dating, I've heard, at the moment. And now you're just, it's even more limiting. But come here, and you're dead right. These are big red flags as well. However, can I just ask, should you bring it up with the person you're dating before just going, okay, no, that's completely a no-no, and bail? Like, should you say, oh, you know, you asked me, you haven't paid for one meal and we've been out on three dates. Should you say it before you bail, or should you just bail?
Oh, I mean, it depends on the context, you know, again, that I would say, you know, if you are a woman dating a man, you know, it's probably going to feel less safe based on your past experiences and, you know, just the kind of, you know, practicalities of being usually a smaller, less strong bodied person, that, you know, women can often feel quite threatened by bringing things up with men. So being aware of that around your safety. But I would say, you know, in general, if it feels like, you know, you don't necessarily owe it to the other person, but I think, you know, it's possible that this is something that they really just aren't aware of, and that they can change, you know, and adapt and accommodate quite quickly. So you might feel like if there is quite a few other good things in the relationship so far, even if you've only been on a couple of dates, that it might be well worth saying, hey, I'm feeling some sort of, you know, imbalance financially here. You know, that you don't have, you can, ideally you will say it in a way where you kind of own what's coming up for you. You know, say I'm feeling uncomfortable or I've noticed this thing, rather than just going, hey, you're clearly a scrounger who, or a gold digger who's trying to, you know, get whatever out of me. Like, there's no way that someone is going to respond to that well. Or if they do respond in a very people pleasing way, you know, that it also is probably a red flag. So I would say just bringing it up with someone and just going, hey, I've noticed this, it's made me feel a bit weird or uncomfortable. And if they respond, you know, often people might be a little bit defensive to begin with and you can still work it out. But if they're able to kind of take that on board and reflect and discuss it, then they're probably, you know, reasonably emotionally mature, which still not might not mean that they're a good match for you.
Yeah.
But you can certainly probably get a bit further by, you know, having a chance to talk it out rather than just either disengaging or ghosting them or just telling them a different reason as to why you don't want to see them again.
Can we talk about the signs that someone may have a controlling, untrustworthy or manipulative personality? Because that's a big, big red flag.
They are, yeah. So those things, you know, you might find that someone has like really excessive jealousy, that they seem like they're already wanting to kind of know where you are all the time. You know, it's normal for people to experience jealousy. A lot of people do experience some jealousy, but it's about how the person handles that. You know, if they're just making accusations or blowing up or giving you silent treatment or that sort of thing, you know, or telling you who you can and can't see and spend time with or what you can wear, those are very, very good signs, you know, that someone has a controlling or manipulative personality. You know, they're kind of monitoring you or attempts to isolate you from your friends and family. If they start telling you that your friends are no good for you, that they're, you know, that you, you know, of course, someone might not like every, you know, one of your friends. They might not get on with them or feel like there's a particularly good match there. They don't have to like every member of your family. But if what they're doing is being very kind of critical and judgmental, and that, you know, that is likely to be in service of, even if it's not conscious for the person, you know, very rarely do I find that people are very consciously manipulative and controlling. Sometimes they are, but regularly it's, you know, their kind of wounds from the past that are basically showing up, their unresolved stuff, which means that they are trying to feel safe through trying to control your behavior. But that doesn't make it okay. It doesn't justify it. What you need to do there is absolutely call that out, get support around that. Potentially you need to leave that ASAP, but certainly you need to be discussing it and negotiating it, if not leaving altogether, because, you know, very likely you're going to start to feel gaslit, you're going to feel insecure, you're going to feel on edge, it's going to erode your self-esteem. And, you know, that's when we get into kind of abusive, you know, patterns and dynamics.
Totally. How can you identify someone with a history of unstable or toxic relationships? Is that quite clear by how they talk about their exes, I would say?
Yeah, that's relationship? A big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really common, you know, which again, probably no one is going to say every single one of my past partners was absolutely amazing. I feel so grateful for every aspect of those relationships and everything is just, you know, really chill and cool between us. Like, most people are just not going to have that kind of background. But if someone is talking about having a lot of crazy exes, particularly if it's a man talking about women in that way, saying that the women were crazy or too sensitive or too emotional, that's probably a good sign that this person has, you know, kind of, it doesn't have emotional maturity and may potentially have, you know, kind of toxic or abusive traits and dynamics in their relationships. But if someone, you know, if someone is talking about, you know, how they've had loads of kind of volatile breakups and volatile kind of emotional patterns, or a consistent narrative of, yeah, just kind of partner choices that were, you know, really all over the shop or incompatible, then, you know, it's really a bit more about how someone talks about it than necessarily the actual, you know, things that happened. Because I think we all have, you know, difficult, painful, distressing things that have happened in relationships in the past. So I would look out more for the patterns there and someone's self-awareness and taking responsibility for that, really. That will tell you a lot about them.
Okay. Interesting stuff. But what about this one? This is a tricky one. How can you spot someone with commitment issues or an avoid attachment style? I mean, that isn't as clear.
Okay, so yeah, that sometimes isn't going to be as clear. So I would say, you know, if someone has, you know, a real reluctance to make plans for the future, kind of even short term, long term, again, that might be something where they could say, look, I've had a painful past relationship. I'm still recovering from that. That might not be, you know, a red flag in any way. In fact, it might be like this person is able to be self-aware, recognize that they need to go slow. But if someone is, you know, again, being kind of hot and cold, Or you just feel like they're being shady around committing to plans, which doesn't have to be like you've been on three dates and they don't want to plan Christmas with your family. That doesn't make them a commitment phobe. But if, you know, you feel like you've been gearing up or having conversations about doing things together and then they kind of regularly back out of that or don't seem to be able to talk to you about it, you know, that is a good sign that this person has, you know, either issues with commitment or they're just not being, you know, clear. Might be that they don't have very good self-awareness about what it is that they want in their relationships currently or what they're basically available for. So that's a good way to kind of know that. And then, you know, if someone has avoidant attachment, they're probably going to struggle with emotional intimacy. They're going to appear distant. They're going to express maybe kind of extreme independence or self-reliance. So, you know, they're going to be basically uncomfortable with emotional vulnerability and deep emotions. They might need a lot of space. They might downplay the importance of relationships in their lives. And so those sorts of things are just likely to mean that you feel lonely, neglected, undervalued and unimportant in those relationships. So again, it's not that you can't ever date people with more avoidant attachment, mm-hmm. but it's probably going to mean that they need to be, you know, probably in therapy, doing a lot of kind of work on that. Or, you know, in certain situations, it might mean that you're also avoidant and you know, you can actually manage that quite well between you. So,
okay. So if someone's listening and they have a pattern, or people tell them, because sometimes you don't recognize it in yourself, a pattern of dating inappropriate and unavailable people, what can that person do to break the habit?
I think the first thing is definitely getting, you know, more aware mm-hmm. about that, doing that without shame, recognizing, you know, we're all doing the best that we can, even if sometimes that doesn't mean very healthy patterns or habits or behavior, you know, kind of going, right, where is this coming from? What is it that I'm afraid of? You know, what based on my relationship history and also, you know, my kind of early life, what was modeled to me growing up, you know, in terms of affection, emotional vulnerability, closeness, you know, kind of interdependence, these sorts of things. Basically get curious about your past and how you were brought up. That's a really good start for recognizing what you might be drawn to in terms of dynamics now, you know, that, you know, sometimes it can be to do with the fact that our first love, you know, cheated on us or left us, or even if it was an amicable breakup, that there's just still some like grieving to be done about the fact that that felt like a really amazing relationship and it feels really difficult for anything to measure up since. So, you know, I think looking at the kind of pattern of what types of unavailability you go for or sort of incompatibility, sometimes we'll have a clear type. Like we date kind of bad boys or we date kind of Peter Pan sort of people who, you know, are kind of basically behaving much younger than their sort of years. And so just kind of going, is this about the fact that I'm conditioned as a woman to be very accommodating, people pleasing and to kind of justify, you know, kind of men's behavior? Or, you know, am I potentially, you know, a man who had a mother who was very kind of anxious and controlling growing up? And so I kind of expect to be kind of caregiving and, you know, sacrificing my own needs in relationships and dating. So, you know, you can start to understand the patterns a bit better, which therapy can also really help with that. Not always totally necessary, but often it can just be a good support and a good way of getting more of a handle on what's going on. And how to change that.
Okay, amazing stuff. Rachel, as always, a pleasure. Thank you so much for this week's Relationship Therapy. Rachel Cook is back next week. And if there's anything you would like us to discuss in sex and relationship therapy, you can always get in touch with the show, jen@orty.ie.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.